I'll say we're up to Daf Gimel on the base.
Thank you.
And let's just give a little bit of a background here to the shear of an Amma. We're talking about the two categories of an Amma. There's something called an Amma Gdola, and there's something called an Amma Ketana. The Amma Gdola is the equivalent of 6 Tfachim, whereas the Amma Ketana is the equivalent of 5 Tfachim. And Abai is going to make a statement answering the following question: when do we use which of the two Amas? When do we use the Amma Gdola of 6 Tfachim? When do we use the Amma Ketana of 5 Tfachim? And Abai says that we always go L'chumra. Whenever the Chumra would take me in that direction where we use the longer Amma that's made of 6 Tfachim, that's what we'll do. And that's what we're going to do in the cases. One second. In the case of Kelayim. In case of Kelayim. However, there's something called an Amma Ketana, which is a shorter Amma, and that only has 5 Tfachim. And we're going to go L'chumra according to Abaye in two cases, and that's Sukkah and Mavui. Let's just quickly review in our minds why taking the smaller Amma is a Chumra in both Sukkah and Mavui. We want to know how high up the Schach could be or the Korah could be. And we said that the maximum is 20 Amma. The smaller, the lower that height is, the more you're going with Chumra, because you're saying above that height, your Sukkah is Psula, and so is your Korah. So in that sense, Abai says that by using the smaller Amma, which is only 5 Tfachim, so you are requiring that the Schach be lower and the Sukkah be smaller. However, in the case of Kelayim, which we're about to analyze now, we're going to use, says Abai, the larger Amma, which has 6 Tfachim to it, and that's a Chumra in the case of Kelayim. So the Gemara analyzes, the Gemara says, well, you know, why is it that in the case of Mavui, your Amma is always going to be the smaller Amma? What is the halachic import? So if you're going to talk about the height of the Mavui, then I understand that you are lowering the height by setting up the Amma as having 5 Tfachim, the smaller Amma. And also you're being machmir for Pritzas Mavui, right? If let's say there's a breakage in the walls that surround the Mavui, so the halacha is that if that breakage is more than 10 amos, it's possible. So just like we said in Gova, the Esrim Amma height is a psul, so too in Pritzas Mavui, the 10 amos of Pritza is going to be a psul, such that the Mavui is also betiltal. You can't use a Korah or a Lechi. And once again, Abai is going to insist you take the Amma 5 Tfachim, that's going to be L'chumra. So once you have, let's say if we take 10 amos multiplied by 5 tfachim, you have 50 tfachim. Once is 50 tfachim between one part of the kosel and the next part of the kosel in this mavui, it no longer lends itself to a heter of tikkun mavui. So the Gemara asks, but wait a second, I'm going to prove to you that at least as far as one law is concerned, thank you so much, Emma. I have no idea where you want to teach.
Mishnah, second perik.
The first mission, the second parish?
Yeah. And then we just leave that to you. You do it again and you do it.
Great. First mission, the second parish. I should write that down. Okay, fine. So what's the halacha in which we want to use a longer Amma, I'm sorry, the Amma Gdola, which has 6 Tvachim, even in the context of Mavu? And that's called Meshech Mavu. And what that means is the following. The Mavui has to be a certain length. So right, let's say you come out of your house and you enter into a chatzer, and all the homes spill into a common chatzer. So now you have a few chatzeros on the right and the left, and they all pour into this Mavui. How long is this Mavui? The minimum length of the Mavui has got to be 4 amos. Then, if it has 4 amos in length, it's a mavui, and you can be matir the mavui with a lechi and a korah. Now, if we measure the amma by an amma ketana, which would mean that you have 5 tefachim times 4 amos, you're ending up with 20 tefachim. But you could be mekil, and you could say, right, and then you're being mekil, because if you take the amah gedola, then you multiply 6 times 4, and you end up with 24 tefachim. So the Gemara offers 2 approaches. Either the 4 amos, according to one shita in the Gemara, means 4 tefachim, it doesn't mean 4 amos, or the statement of Abai was referring to rov. In most cases, in mavui, we're going to take the amah ketana. The Gemara now goes on to discuss sukkah. If you're talking about the height of the sukkah, then if you use a smaller amah, that's a chumrah. And in terms of dofen akuma, which means that they could not be more than 4 amos distance from the schach to the dofen. Once again, if you're going to take the amah ketana, you're shortening the allowed distance, and therefore you're being machmir. But the Gemara thinks that even in the case of sukkah, by taking the smaller amah, 5 tefachim, you're being mekil. Why? Because there's something called meshech sukkah. This side we learned in a braisa, Rebbe says, kol sukkah shein ba arba amos al arba amos psula. So Rebbe requires the minimum size of a sukkah has to be 4 amos square. If you're going to take the smaller amah, which would have only 5 tefachim in it, then you're being mekil in sukkah. And once again, the Gemara offers 2 answers to explain Abaye. Either Abaye holds like the Chachamim, they completely reject Rebbe's requirement of a minimum size of 4 amos by 4 amos. They hold that as long as you can get your head in and most of your body in and put a little table in there, then that's large enough to be a sukkah kshera. And the second answer is that Abaye was talking about rov amos. In most cases, the halacha of the amah with regard to sukkah is going to be an amah ketana of 5 tefachim, whether it be for the height of the sukkah or for the din of dofen akuma. Now we get to kelayim. With regard to kelayim, this is the last thing that we discussed on in the previous shiur before Purim. You know, life is either before Purim or after Purim, so try to remember the life before Purim, and that's the law of kelayim. Here, Abai insists that we have to take the larger amah, that's the amah that has 6 tefachim, l'chumrah. And why? Because of 2 halachos in kelayim. One halach is called kerachas, and the other is called mechol hakerem. Kerachas, you may remember, is the area in the middle of the kerem, right? The kerem is made up of various rows of vines, and in the middle of this square, there's another square which is empty. It's called charev, right? It's completely desolate. And the question is, what are the dimensions of that empty square, which is called kerachas, to allow you to plant other zroim, other than grapes, right? Other kinds of tvua, etc., etc. So the Mishnah says that we have machlokes between Beit Shammai and Beis Hillel about the minimum dimensions of this kerachas that it would allow you to plant other zroim other than grapes. According to Beit Shammai, it's 24 amos. So in other words, what you need is that the distance between the last row of vines on the right side and the last row on the left side, that distance has to be a minimum of 24 amos, according to Beit Shammai. And if we'd have time for a shir be'iyun, we'd get into a whole discussion about why Beit Shammai, how they came to the conclusion that it's got to be 24 amos. Beis Hillel hold that it's enough if it's 16 amos. Now we have another halacha called Mechol HaKerem. And that refers to the outskirts of the kerem. So you have many, many rows of vines, and then you have a wall or a fence that surrounds the entire kerem, the entire vineyard. And there's a distance between the last row of vines and this fence. And in that distance, if it's wide enough, then you're allowed to plant other zroim there. Beit Shammai says, what's the minimum distance between the very last vine and the wall, or the fence? It's got to be 16 amos, and then you're allowed to plant it. Beis Hillel say it's got to be 12 amos. And as we discussed before, here, is where the Chumrah would require that you use the Amah G'dola. That's the Amah of six Tfachim, according to Abaye, because again, we're trying to find a leniency in which you're allowed to plant other Zeroyim in some sort of close proximity to a Kerem, and there's no Isur of Kalaya Kerem, so we want to extend that area. So for example, if we go like Beit Shammai in the case of Karachas, we need 24 Amah. So we want to get a larger Amah. In the case of Beis Hillel, 16 Amah, larger Amah. And the same logic applies to Mechol HaKerem. However, the Gemara says that this is not so simple. There's another halacha where using the larger Amah is going to be a kula. And Pukva, the opposite is true. We want to use a smaller Amah. And that's where we're going to start today's discussion. So everybody should open up to Daf Gimel Amud Beis. And we're up to Va'ika Ritzufim, the Arba Amos. So if you count up from the bottom of Daf Gimel Amud Beis, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. 5 lines up, Va'ika Ritzufim. So that up until now, we just gave a little bit of an overview of that sugya that we covered last time we got together. And now we're up to the new sugya. Va'ika ritzufim bi'arba amos. Now first let's translate the word ritzufim. Ritzufim means that the various rows of vines are planted very, very close to each other. And that means, when we say close to each other, there is a distance between one row of vines and the other of less than arba amos. That's called ritzufin. Another word for ritzufin would be tzfufin. Tzfufin means they're very crowded in. And now, if we're going to use the Amah G'dola, which was a chumrah until now, because we came to be matir, planting other zroyim, whether it was the Mechol HaKerem or the Karachas HaKerem, here, with regard to this halacha ritzufin, using the longer Amah is going to be a kula. And why is that so? Disnan, we learned in the Mishnah in the 5th parak of Kalayim Kerem, Anatua al Pochos Mi'arba Amos, if you have a vineyard and the distance between one row and the next is less than 4 Amos, We're going to mention Reb Shimon, and Rabbi Shimon is going to argue with the Chachamim. Rabbi Shimon Omer, Eino Kerem, that this vineyard, according to Halacha, is not considered a vineyard, which means the following, that we have Halacha that within a distance of 4 Amos to the outside of the vineyard, meaning the closest row, you're not allowed to plant any other zroyim. And that would be Klaya Kerem, that would be a violation of a Doraisa. However, that requirement of Harchaka does not apply in the case of Ritzufin, says Rabbi Shimon. Why? Because in a case where you planted these rows of vines so close to each other, you're going to have to eventually remove some of these vines, and therefore they're all temporary. Because you need a minimum of 4 amos between one row and the next in order to do your avoda. And the avoda means that you have to take, you know, your animals in there and you have to plow and so forth and so on. That requires a minimum of 4 amos. So now you set up your rows that are close to each other. They don't have a distance of 4 amos. So Reb Shimon says, in such a case, that's not called a kerem. It's not called a kerem. You're allowed to plant right outside the kerem, you know, your grains, your legumes, whatever you want to plant. The Chachamim over it, Chachamim say no. It's still called a kerem. It's still called a kerem, and you still require harchok, yet you cannot plant zroim within 4 amos of that kerem. Why? Because the Chachamim have a principle called roim es ha'emtsoim ki'ilu enom. Which means the following, that eventually it's a matter of time when he's going to have to remove those rows because he cannot function and he cannot work the land in this vineyard because the rows are so close to each other. So we view it already now as if imaginary, as if we had already removed those rows. And if we remove those rows, then we have a Karen. So again, if you look at the reality as it is with the naked eye, Rav Shimon is correct, you don't have a Karen over here because you have to remove the vines, the rows. It's impossible. It's intolerable. But the Chacham say, don't view this Karen as you see it now in front of your eyes, but view the Karen now as if you had already removed those rows that have to be removed. And therefore it has the status of Kerem. Now let's go back to Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Shimon says that you'd be allowed to plant outside in close proximity to this vineyard, even if it's got rows and rows of vines, but because the distance between each row is less than 4 amos. In this case, you're coming up with a kula, and now if you're going to tell me that you're going to use a shear of what's called the Amoktana. I'm sorry, the Amoktana will be a Chumra. If you're going to use the shear of what? Of Abaye. Abaye says that in Kelayim we use what? The Amogidola. Then that's going to be a Kula. Do you see why it's a Kula? Here's one row, and here's another row. And what we're doing is we're gonna mix the status of the Kerem and all those Yisurim of Klai Kerem because the distance is too short. It's too close to each other, correct? So now if you're going to use... Let's take the Amah Gedol. The Amah Gedol we said was 24 Tefachim, correct? Right? It's the Amah is now 6 Tefachim if you go with the Amah Gedolah, correct? So you have 4 amos times 6 tefachim is 24 tefachim. So now you're going to say, well, if the two rows are within 24 tefachim of each other, then it's not a kerem according to Rav Shimon, and all the laws of Klai HaKerem are completely alleviated. But if you're going to go with an amoktana, then the Amak Tana we said would be for 4 Amos times 5 Tefachim is 20 Tefachim. So then what you're saying is that now you're going to say that if the let's say the distance was something between the two rows is something above 20 Tefachim but less than 24 Tefachim, then if you go with the Amak Tana, then what are you going to do? Just one second. If you go with the Amak Tana, then you're saying in that area it's already considered Safuf. If it's within the 20 Tfachim, then what are we going to say? It's already Safuf. And it's already Safuf, then you're going to be Matir. So that the Amoktana is Lakula. And let's go back to Abaye. What did Abaye say in Kelayim? Let's just go back and review. Abaye says that in Kelayim we're going to use the Amah Gedolah of 6 Tefachim. And now you're going to go Lakula. Do you follow? Because what we're going to say is that if you're going to use the Amah... Just one second, did I get that right? That Rabbi says we're going to use what? The Amah Gedolah in Kelayim of 6 Tefachim. And now it comes out that according to Reb Shimon, if you're going to use the Amah Gedolah, that's a Kula. Why? Because even if the distance is more than 20 Tefachim, but it's less than 24 Tefachim, then the Iser of Kelayim is going to be completely alleviated because it's already Tzofer. Right? The fact that they are that you don't give the breathing space of 4 Amos in each direction from one row to the next, right? That already makes it Tzofer. And it's Mafkia, it removes the status of the Kerem as a Kerem, allowing you all the laws of you know, all the planting that you want in the area. So the Gemara answers Kirabanan, that Abaye holds like the Sheet of the Chachamim, the Amri, Havi Kerem. Right? Because the Rabbanan activate the principle of Romes Atzon Kilu Enom, and the Tzfifus does not remove the status of the Kerem. Ibai Seima, the other answer we could give, is Li Olam Ki Rabbi Shimon. You could reconcile Abai's statement with Rabbi Shimon. And what did Abai mean? He meant Rov Amos comes. In most cases, the law of Kelayim is that we should go L'Chumra with the larger Amos, which is made up of six tfachim, because in most of the areas when we're going to have to, you know, we're going to have to allow you, because you have a larger area, which again we went through the different halachas of 12 amos and so on. There, if we take the Amah Gedola, that's always going to be L'chumra, because we're not going to allow you to plant in that area unless you have a larger space. And that's called Rov. So the exception to this Rov is going to be the case of what? Of Tzfufim, or Ritzufim, as the Gemara calls. Okay. Adkan, until now, we're up to Abaye. Now we're up to Rav. So Rav has a different view of the size of the Am. Rav and Shmeid Rav Nachman. Now both Abaye and Rav are two different versions of Rav Nachman. Rav's version is the following: Kol Amos bi Amabashisha. In other words, Rav rejects, he doesn't recognize the Amma of five Tfachim. There ain't no such thing, it doesn't exist. And we have proofs from Moshe Rabbeinu, the Amma was six Tfachim. However, the question is, what is the size of a Tefach? There's going to be a larger Tefach, and there's going to be a smaller Tefach. The larger Tefach is called Sochakos. And the word Sochakos comes from the word Schok. And we're looking at the lips of a person. When he smiles, then it widens. And that's called Sochakos. And then we have something called Atsevos. Atsevos, the root of the word is Atsev, which means sad. So if a person has a sad mouth, he's not smiling, then it's a smaller area. Okay, I have a little bit of a picture here, if anybody wants to see it. It's actually a colored picture. So you have the Tefach, which is Sochek, the Lashon Schok, and such a Tefach is a wider Tefach. And then you have a Tefach Atzev, which is a smaller Tefach, which means like the Tefach is when you put your fingers together. So the Atzev means you put your fingers right near each other, so you knock out any space between the fingers. Okay. So now we have Abaye and Rava. Now I have to tell you here at this point, there is a gigantic issue in the Rishonim. What does Rava hold? When do we use which of these two tfachim? Because again, the Amma is a multiple of six tfachim. Are you using a larger tefach, which is called the Sochakos, or the smaller tfachim, which are Atsevos? So according to the Rashbah, he's going to insist that Rava didn't bother telling us exactly what we saw in Abaye. We understand it on our own. And that is that, we should go L'chumra in each case, and we go through the laws of Sukkah and Mavui and then Kelayim, and we learn which is case. The Rashba himself says, Nim, that's not soup. He says, L'das Rava, Hishvu Chachamim Midoseinem. And the Chachamim always assume the following: Es kol dinei Kelayim modedim bi'amos Sochakos. Meaning, we came to the conclusion that with regard to Ritzufim, we would want to take a smaller Amma to go L'chumra. And now we're saying no, that according to Rava, in all of Kelayim, even as far as the law of Ritzufim, there's only one standard, and that's going to be the Amma Sochekes. Even though, again, in the case that we discussed of Ritzufin, by taking the Amma Gedola, we are Mekil, correct? The Amma Gedola, because then you're going to, according to Rav Shimon, you're going to knock off the status of the Kerem if it's a distance that's even less than the Amma Gedola. But now we're saying that all Amos, according to Rava, in Kelayim, are called Amos Sochakos, which means that we're going to be Mekil as far as the halacha of Ritzufin is concerned. And then he says, "As kol dinei sukkah umavui modedim the amos Atzevos. Right, that's the smaller tefach, which is called Atzevos. Right, the fingers are touching each other. And that applies straight across the board in all the halachas of Sukkah and Mavli. So it's only according to Abaye that within each set of halachas we ask the question, is it Lechumra or is it Lekula? But according to Rava, Hishru Midoseher, the Mido is always going to be the same, which means that as far as Mavui and Sukkah is concerned, it's Amos Atzevos. And as far as Kelayim is concerned, it's going to be what? Amos Sochakos. That's the Shita of the Rashba. Mesve. Now, after having presented these two views, there's Rava, there's Abaye who says that the two categories of Amma are two different measurements relative to the Tefach. The Amma Gdola is 6 Tfachim, the Ketana is 5 Tfachim. According to Rava, it's always going to be 6 Tfachim, but the question is, what kind of Tefach are we using? So now the Gemara goes back to Abaye to attack Abaye. Mesve. We have a brisa. Kol amo sha'omru chachomim v'amo bashisha. This is an explicit brisa to support Rava. That amo always means shisha tfachim. And then it says u'bilvad. Here we're going on to Daf Dalet Amud Aleph. Shelo yu mechuvanos. Now that phrase, shelo yu mechuvanos, is a very ambiguous phrase. I'm not even going to translate it because it can mean so many different things. We'll see how the Gemara translates the word mechuvanos. So the Gemara says the following, Bishleim al-Rava. We can understand this brisa very well according to Rava. The brisa opens up by saying that all the Amos have shisha tfachim. However, there are two types of Amos. There's Amos that use the Tefach, which is called Tefach Sochakos, and there's the Amma that uses the Tefach, which is Atzuvos. And now we can go through the Brisa, we can understand the Brisa. When the Brisa says, Ubilvad Shaloyu Mechuvanos, what the Brisa means to say is that we shouldn't equate both categories. And when I say both categories, keep in mind I mean Kelayim on the one hand and Mavui and Sukkah on the other. And we shouldn't equate both these categories as far as measuring an Amma of 6 Tfachim. So that means Shaloyu Mechuvanos. Loyu Mechuvanos would mean if they're all identical. But Loyu Mechuvanos means Ki Hechi Dilahavyan Halolu Sochakos Valolu Atzevos. We have to make sure they're not all equal, because some will be Sochakos, and that's what we said about Kelayim. In Kelayim it's Sochakos, which is the larger Tefach that's going to produce a larger Amma. And then Halolu, in the case of Sukkot Mavui, we're going to use Atzevos, right? We're going to use the smaller Tefach, the Tefach Otze. El Abaye Kasha, but how is Abaye going to tolerate this brisa? Because the brisa says that Amos means an Amma of 6 Tfachim. That's against Abaye. Abaye says there's an Amma of 5 Tfachim, like in the case of Sukkot Mavui, and there's an Amma of 6 Tfachim in the case of Kelayim. So the Gemara now makes a valiant effort to try to reconcile Abaye and this brisa. Omulcha Abaye, Ema, perhaps this brisa is talking about Kelayim and only Kelayim. The Amas Kelayim. And what is the Amas Kelayim? It's an Amma Bashisha Tfachim. You remember that according to Abaye, if we want to go Lechumra and choose one of the two Amos, in the case of Kelayim, it would be Lechumra to choose an Amma Gedol of 6 Tfachim. Because, again, in the case of Kelayim, in the discussions that we had about Kerachas or Machul, we wanted to have a heter to plant other seeds. So that heter would be restricted and limited, lechumra, by the requirement of a larger area. And how do you get a larger area? By using the Amma that is shisha tefachim. Okay, so that's all right, but then what does it mean when it says ubilvad shelo yu mechuvanos? And that means the following. So I'm going to read to you Rashi. Rashi says shelo yu mechuvanos. Rashi says, according to Abaye, that means shelo yu mitzumtzomos el gedolos shenim dodos bitfachim sochakos. Ah, so here's a new twist on what the word mechuvanos means. By mechuvanos, according to Rava, meant they shouldn't be all equal in terms of the size of the tefach. What Abaye is learning in lo yu mechuvanos is that they shouldn't be the smaller tefach, which is called the atzev, but rather they should be a tefachim sochakos, which means the larger amma. So in Kelayim, we're going to end up with a double chumra, so to speak. Number one, the amma is going to have to measure six tefachim, and number two, each tefach is going to have to be a tefach sochek, a larger tefach. So the Gemara says we cannot accept this interpretation of the Braisa. Why? Because we only read the Reish of the Braisa. Now let's read the Sefer of the Braisa. The Sefer of the Braisa quotes Rav Shimon Gamliel. The Gemara assumes now that Rav Shimon Gamliel is a dissenting opinion. V'amidik tani Sefer Rav Shimon Gamliel Omer. Kol amos sha'omru chachomim b'kalayim. B'amo ba'shisha. Okay, so the opening part of this Braisa that the Amma is Bashisha sounds very similar in Rav Shimon Gamliel, but it's not at all similar. Because if you notice, Rav Shimon Gamliel adds a very critical word, and that's the word Kelayim, implying that the Tanakhama was saying that all Amos, even in Mavui and Sukkah, would be measured by six Amma. Rav Shimon says, no, only in the case of Kelayim are we going to measure the Amma by six Amma. Which means they shouldn't be atzevos, they should be amos sochakos. But michlal, from the by implication, we understand that Tanakama is kol amos ka'omar. He holds that all the amos are included in this measurement of six tfachim. Reb Shimon cuts him down and he says, no, I'm going to accept amos of six tfachim, but only in the case of kelayim. The chacham are going to say in all cases, We maintain that the Amma is six tefachim, even in the cases of Sukkah and Mavui. Amal Chabaye, again, the Gemara is going to make some sort of an effort to reconcile this price with Abaye. The Lav Mi Iker of Shimon Gamliel Dekoy Kavose. Alright, I don't have to be Joe Popular, I don't have to square with everybody. As long as I have Rav Shimon Gamliel, who limits this halach of Shisha Tefachim in an Amma to Kelayim, that's exactly my Shita. And Rav Shimon says, they shouldn't be limited, which means atzevos, but each tefach should be measured by sofakos. Is that not the amrik, Rav Shimon Gamliel? I can stand on the shoulders of Rav Shimon Gamliel. Doesn't it shlef? That's not the worst thing in the world. So the Gemara now summarizes. According to Abaye, the question of how to define or measure the Amma is going to definitely be a machlokas tanoim between the Tanakama and Rav Shimon. The Tanakama holds that every Amma is six tefachim, whereas Rav Gamliel says that only in the case of Kelayim, there we go with the Amma of six tefachim. And Abaye holds like Rav Shimon Gamliel. L'Rava milema tanoihi. What should we say according to Rav? Now, certainly, Rava would square very beautifully with the Chachamim, with the Tanakama, because Tanakama says that every Amma is six tefachim. And then he's going to divide it up into two different types of tefachim. And that's going to be Shaloyu Mechuvanos, that not all tefachim are the same. So we're going to need a Sochakos in the case of Kelayim, and we're going to need Atsevos in the case of Sukkah and Mavu. That's fine. But now the question is, what do we do with Rav Shimon Gamliel? Is there any way of saying that Rav Shimon Gamliel would also agree to Rava's position that every Amma, even in the case of Mavui and Sukkah, is measured by six Tfachim? Well, if that be the case, then Rav Shimon Gamliel is basically repeating exactly what the Tanakhama said. So you know, the Tanakama pointed out that some of them are sochakos and some of them are atsevos, but the Tanakama didn't really spell out, well, where, in what context do you, you know, during relative to which halachos do you require sochakos, and relative to which halacha do you require atsevos? And that's where Rav Shimon Gamliel stood up, stood up to the plate, so to speak, to explain to us that in the case of Kalayim, we're gonna measure the tefach as sochakos. Amalcha Rava. Rava says Rav Shimon Gamliel ha'asal hashmina, and all that Rav Shimon Gamliel is coming to do is he's not coming to argue against the Tanakama. All the amos are shisha tefachim. He's only coming to interpret what does it mean shaloyim mechuvanos, because that was left sort of hanging in the air. And comes over Shimon Gamliel to tell me that Amos Kelayim lo yitzamtze, that in the case of the Ama that's measured by at six tfachim, with regard to Kelayim, that we should not avail ourselves of the tzimtzum of the smaller tefach, which means the tefach sochakos, but rather we should require in the case of Kelayim sochakos. So the Gemara is not exactly on board here. The Gemara asks the following question: Volema, if Rav Shimon Gamliel is simply coming to teach us that in the case of Kalayim you don't use an Ama Mitzumtzemes, what we call that Sevos, then he should have said the following: Volema, you should have said Amas Kalayim Lo Yitzamtzem. That in the case of measuring the Ama in Kalayim by six tefachim, then you should take the wider tefach rather than the narrow tefach, lo yitzamtze, the amah bashisha. Oh, I'm sorry. So, but instead, if you go back to the Brisa, so the Sefer of the Brisa, which is Rav Shimon Gamliel, he says, Omer, kol amo sha'omru chachom b'kalayim b'amah bashisha. I mean, that whole sentence is completely superfluous, because then he's just reiterating what the Chachamim was saying. You follow? In other words, now the Gemara wants to say that the word Kelayim here in Rav Shimon Gamliel doesn't really belong. Take out the word Kelayim, because Rav Shimon Gamliel agrees to the Chachamim, which is Rav Shita, that every Ama in the Torah, even in the case of Sukkah and Mavli, those cases, is an Ama Bashisha Tvachim. So the only comment that Rav Shimon Gamliel is adding to this Tanakama is that Ubilvad Shaloyu Mitzumtzamos, which means that in the case of Kelayim, you use the Tefach which is Sochakos rather than Tefach that is Atzevos. Why did Rav Shimon Gamliel in the Brisa have to repeat the words Kol Amo Shomru Chachom Kelayim? Amabashisha. I mean, obviously he's telling you that the standard of Amabashisha is only required in Kalayim. Look. So the Gemara says, no, that's not what Rav Shimon Gamliel has in mind. But rather, Libaute Ama Yesod the Ama Sovev. Okay, so let's see if we can give a little bit of a background here. I have a diagram for this, and maybe actually we have a color diagram. Anybody want to volunteer to find a color diagram for this? Just look at Dali on Dali. So we have a mizbeach. Now, how many mizbechos were there in the Beis HaMikdash? Everybody? Two. Right, there was the mizbeach HaPnimi, otherwise known as the mizbeach HaZov. That's not relevant to our discussion today. But then there was the Mizbeach HaChitzoni that was out in the Azora. That had a different name as well, which is synonymous, called the Mizbeach HaNechoshes. Now, the Mizbeach was not exactly a square. What I mean to say is that the outer walls of the Mizbeach did not go like a straight vertical line. But rather, there were parts of the Mizbeach that jutted out. Are you with me so far? They jutted out. And there are two parts of the Mizbeach that jut out. Right? They're not a straight line on the facade of the outer facade of the Mizbeach. One is called the Yesod. The Yesod is the foundation of the Mizbeach. Okay? That's what the word Yesod means. The Yesod was five tefachim height. And the purpose of the Yesod was for Shvichas Shirayim, which means that when they did the Zrika, they received a certain amount of dam from the animal in a Kli Shares, in what's called a Mizrach, and then they would take from the dam in the Mizrach with their fingers and they would sprinkle it on the Mizbeach. But then there were leftover dam, and that leftover dam was sprinkled onto the Yesod HaMizbeach. A whole machlokus in the Gemara, whether the karbon depends, you know, it's absolutely critical, Shvicha Shirayim or not. Anyway, that's called the Yesod. Then we have a part of the Mizbech which is called the Sovev. The Sovev is a part that's, let's say, I'm just throwing out a fraction, two thirds up from the Yesod, towards the top of the Mizbeach. And that was a section where the Kohanim would walk around. They could step on and walk on the Sovev in order to do the Zrika on the four corners of the Mizbeach. So let's assume, I'm just throwing out numbers here, don't take me literally, but let's say a Kohen was, 6 foot tall, okay? So he was tall enough that if he walked around the Sovev, he would reach the top of the Mizbeach where there were four kronos, four corners on top of the Mizbeach, and he would be able to do Zrika on the four corners. Again, which karbanos need Zrika and how many matadomim you need and what's likuva, what's not likuva. For that, we'd have to learn a little bit more of Masech Tzvachim. Now, Yechezkel HaNavi is the key to understand what we call the midos of the Beis HaMikdash. What were the dimensions of everything? And the reason for that is because Yechezkel HaNavi gives us in great detail in two different chapters. We're going to focus on chapter number 43. He gives us a prophecy about the ultimate Mizbeach in the third Beis HaMikdash. And he's going to give us the midos of the Mizbeach HaChitzon, that outer Mizbeach in the Azara that we're focused on. And let's read a little bit of Yechezkel HaNavi. Dechsiv, the Pasuk says, V'ele midos HaMizbeach B'Amos. These are the dimensions of the Mizbeach in Amos. Ama, Ama V'Tofach. So the Ama that's mentioned here by Yechezkel with regard to the Midos HaMizbeach are the Amos Gedolos of Shisha Tfachim. Now, how do I get Shisha Tfachim here? So there's a little bit of a trick. Do you see where he says Ama V'Tofach? The word V'Tofach is the same as the word as Tefach. But Tofach is sort of a conjugated verb, but the noun is Tefach. Now, if you have an Ama, you have to add to the Ama a Tefach. That means that Yechezkel is operating with the shear of an Ama, which we call an Ama Ketana, of five Tefachim. And when he says V'Tefach, he means add another Tefach, so that you finally end up with an Ama Gedola. In other words, he didn't want to use the word Ama without the word Tefach, because he didn't want to confuse you. You might think that the word Ama means an Ama Ketana of five Tefachim, so he adds the Tefach to make sure that you understand that the Amma is really six Tefachim.
Or didn't they just say Amma Gedol?
I don't know. Good question. So again, the shear of the Mizbeach with regard to Amos is always going to be the Amma of six Tefachim. Now, there are different parts of the Mizbeach. And all these parts of the Mizbeach would have to be measured with an Amma Ketana of five Tefachim, and these are the exceptions to the rule. Do you follow? So he opens up with the rule, and we'll see where the rule applies, and he requires not only an Amma Ketana, but an additional Tefach, which jacks it up to six Tefachim. And then he tells us that there are certain specific parts of the Mizbeach that they measured with Amma Ketana of five Tefachim, and they didn't add the extra Tefach. So that word v'tofach applies to certain parts of the Mizbeach and requires an amah gedol of 6 tefachim. And in contrast, he's got the amah without the extra word v'tofach, which is an amah 5 tefachim. He's got v'cheka amah. The Gemara is going to go through every one of these phrases and try to explain what they mean. There's something called cheka amah. There's something called amah rochav. There's something called gvula shel sfaseh soviv zeres ha'echad. And Zeg Gav HaMizbeach. Now all of these, which break down I think into 4 categories, we'll see if my number is correct in a second, these are the Amo Ketana of 5 Tfachim. Now we'll go through each one of them. Number 1, Chek HaAmo. The Chek HaAmo Zeu Yisod. Yisod, we said, is the foundation on the bottom of the Mizbeach. And that has a shear of gova. It has to be a certain height. And that height is an amah. But which kind of an amah? It's the smaller amah. It's the amah without the additional tefach. That's going to be an amah 5 tefachim. So in this diagram, what you'll see, again, you have to have very good eyes or a magnifying glass, is you'll see that he gives you a line measuring the height of the yisod. And next to the line, he writes, hey tefachim.
Bigger.
Okay. Right, so that's one amma, which is 5 tefachim. Correct? That's the
height.
That's the height of the yisod, the base of the Mizbeach. I assume there's a cold picture here somewhere,
it's,
no?
Ah,
no, it's the same thing as here.
Yeah.
I got ripped off here. No, I really did. I thought that this book, when I bought it, had additional diagrams, but I see it's the same diagrams that are taken from the...
Oh, but this is...
Not that one. All of mine are colored, yeah, except for this one. So I figured, he's going to have it in color. He has it in black and white. Anyway, then we get to the second category, which is called Ama Rochav Zeha Sovev. So as we said, the Sovev is that area which is higher up in the Mizbeach and allows the Kohanim to walk around the Sovev in order to do the Zrika Al Gav HaMizbeach. And that Sovev is made up of a width of 5 tefachim. Now, let's say 5 tefachim, I don't know, it's hard to say, it depends what kind of tefach you're working with, but let's just, for argument's sake, say that this would be 5 tefachim, from here to here. So that's enough for the Kohen to walk around on the Sovev. Then it says, Gvula shel sfasa Soviv. Okay, this is the third category. Elu Hakronos. So on every corner of the Mizbeach, on top of the Mizbeach, there were Kronos. The Kronos were built above the top of the Mizbeach, and on all 4 sides, their Midah was 1 square amma, means an amma in length and an amma in width. And the height was also an amma. Every one of those 3 ammas, whether it's the width, the length, or the height, was 5 tefachim. The amma of 5 tefachim. And then he writes, V'zeh gav ha-mizbeach. What is that referring to? The gav, the top of the mizbeach. Zeh mizbach ha-zoh. Now we're talking about the inner Mizbeach, which is in the Heichal. That's called the Mizbach HaZohov. That's where they were makdir the Ketores. And that is made up of an Amma by an Amma in Rochav. We don't know exactly what the height was, but Amma Orko V'Amma Rochbo, and that's the Amma of 5 Tfach. Now, I'm not even going to ask you if you have a picture of this, because if I don't have a picture, then you don't have a picture. Which is a little bit silly that they didn't give us a diagram of the Mizbach HaZov. Let me just see if he adds anything for a second here. So he has a note in the name of Rabbeinu Gershom in Masechta Menachos. Why is this called Gav HaMizbeach. You see, the Pasuk calls it Ze Gav HaMizbeach. You know, we didn't see that phrase with regard to the Mizbeach HaChitzon. So he says the word Gav indicates that there's no Yesod and there's no Sovev. In the Mizbeach HaPnimi, it's just one straight facade, you know, going up and down, vertically up and down. So that's called the Gav HaMizbeach. Now, when we say that the Mizbeach HaZov is an Amma Ketana, five Tefachim, what are we referring to? So he says here the following. He says, to look in Rashi, Divra Maskel V'zeh, okay, Rashi has a very long discussion about Kronos, and then below that you'll see there's a Rashi v'zeh gava mizbeach klomar bi'ama ketana zu five tefachim, right? Nimdad ha'ama shel ha'mizbeach hazov d'chsiv ba. Rashi quotes a pasuk from last week's parsha. It says d'chsiv ba ama orko v'ama rochbo. Ama orko v'ama rochbo. Just one second. Gago shall find this guy, the Gabi Midos Govo shall mizbeach shahoyish. Oh, Shte Amos, very good. What Am are we talking about? So basically, Rabosai, the Mizbeach HaPnimi was pretty low. It was a shorty, so to speak. It only had two Amos, the Govo. There was only two Amos from the ground. And we're talking about an Amma of five Tefachim. And what was the width of the Mizbeach HaZov? He says it was only Shisha Tefachim. Oh no, I'm sorry. It was two Amos of Shisha Tefachim. That was the width. So we're learning now the height. The height is going to be two Amos of five Tefachim. And the width is going to be two amos of shisha tefachim, which would mean 12 tefachim. Just one second. Are we making sense over here? I'm going to read it once more. He says the following: Midas govo shel mizbeach hapnimi is shtei amos. So the height is two amos, and each amos is five tefachim. Then he says that there's an opinion of Rabbi Meir, which we didn't get to yet, and he's going to hold that the Amma of the Kelim is six Tefachim, and the Gova of the, I don't know why we have to know that now exactly, but anyway, the Gova of the Mizbeach HaZov is Shtei Amos of Shisha Tefachim. So this is really interesting because I don't know exactly how Rabbi Meir is going to square with this parsha in Yechezkel, but according to Rabbi Meir, the gova of the Mizbeach HaZov is two amos of six tefachim, which means 12 tefachim. We were talking about a gova of two amos made up of five tefachim, which would be 10 tefachim. But then he adds a few words here, which I'm trying to figure out. He says, V'rak orko v'rochbo Hoya bi amashel chamisha tefachim. Oh, so the way I understand is the following. Rabbi Meir is going to have another interpretation of Yechezkel. Yechezkel in the Gava Mizbeach, which is the Mizbeach HaZov, requires an Amma five tefachim. Rabbi Meir learns that requirement of five tefachim is only Arko v'Rochbo. As far as Govo is concerned, we're going to need a full 12 tefachim, which means two amos of six tefachim. But everybody seems to agree that as far as the Orech and the Rochav, it's going to be 10 tefachim. It's going to be two amos of five tefachim. But as far as the Govo is concerned, here we have Machlokas between Tanakama and Rabbi Meir. Our Gemara is reflecting the sheet of the Tanakama, and the Gova of the Mizbeach HaZov was 10 tefachim. Om Rav Chiya bar Ashi Omar Rav Shiurim Chatzitzin Umechitzin halacha leMoshe miSinai. This is a very, very famous, world famous statement, which I've heard many times, but I never knew it was here in Erev in Daf Dalet of Rabbi Chiya. And that is, we have something called halacha leMoshe miSinai. Halacha Moshe miSinai is not written in the Torah itself; it's given over to Moshe Rabbeinu Baal Peh up on Har Sinai. And what three areas are given to Moshe Rabbeinu in Har Sinai as halacha Moshe? That's Shiurim. In other words, every shiur. Like, for example, we have halacha that in Macholas Asurus you're not chayv unless you eat a kezayis of dam or chelev or nevela, whatever it is that you eat. So the minimum shiur is kezayis, and that's called shiurim. Then we have something called chatzitzin. So with regard to tefillah, if you jump into a mikvah and you're wearing something on your body, something is attached to your body, that is called a chatzitza that separates your body from the waters of the mikvah. Now, what is the size of that chatzitza? How large is it? That's going to be halacha leMoshe miSinai. We're going to have to figure out what that shear is as far as chatzitza is concerned. Then we have mechitzim, which is another a plural form of mechitza. So, for example, we need a mechitza for a sukkah. We need a mechitza for a mavui. We need a mechitza for a shusayachid, etc., etc. So the minimum shear of a mechitza is 10 tefachim high, and that's going to be a halacha leMoshe miSinai. So all these halachas of shiurin, chatzitzin, and mechitzin are all halacha leMoshe miSinai. He writes here in the name of the Rambam that ein lahem remez batorah, the efshal lilmod bi achas mimidos shatorah nidreshes b'hem. So the reason why we need halacha leMoshe miSinai is there's no other way of deriving these conclusions based on reading the Torah itself. So the Gemara asks the following question: Shiurim do raisahu? Are you telling me that the Shiurim have the status of halacha leMoshe miSinai, which makes them do raisa, just that they weren't derived from a pasuk? He says, I'm going to prove to you that Shiurim can be derived from a pasuk, and they're not halacha leMoshe. The Siv, the pasuk says, Eretz Chita Sa'ora. I'll read the whole pasuk. Says, V'gefen u'te'enu v'rimon, Eretz Zei Shemen u'dvash. Shomer Rav Chanan, kol ha-pasuk hazeh, l'shiurim ne'man. So this pasuk, which is telling you the Shvach of Eretz Yisrael and the Peiros of Eretz Yisrael, is telling you Shiurim. And the Gemara is now going to go through every single word in this pasuk to teach you what that shear is. And the reason why the Torah gives all these names of all these fruits and produce is not because of Shemach Eretz Yisrael. I mean, that's maybe on a philosophical level, but on a halachic level, the whole list is going to give you all the different shiurei Torah. And that's not halacha leMoshe miSinai. That's written in the pasuk. Unless we assume that the pasuk itself is unclear and we need the halacha leMoshe miSinai to interpret the pasuk. But right now the Gemara thinks that every category in this pasuk is teaching you a certain shear. For example, one shear is going to be what's called Beis HaMenuga, and then there's going to be another shear with regard to a pas for Birkas HaMazon and so forth and so on. So this next sugya that we're going to, in Rish Hashem, pick up on Yom Rishon is going to give us a little bit of an overview of the various shiurim in the Torah, and then we're going to come to some conclusion as to whether these shiurim are min haTorah or they are halacha leMoshe miSinai. And with that, I wish you all a very fine Shabbos Kitisa. Try not to get too depressed. I know that Kitisa is a very depressing parsha with the Chet HaEgel, and we're still suffering today from that Chet, but the good news is that Emir Tzashem will survive it, will survive the viruses and all the other terrible things that are going on in this world that we live in.